Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to the Ohmcast, where we get real, raw, authentic, and weird. And this is episode 001, the first one ever. And we have the one and only William Good today.
Hi.
He's a local Tacomian, born and raised here in Washington. Our friendship goes back to Stadium High School 15 years ago, back to the Xbox Live Halo 2 days.
It goes back. Did we know each other in Xbox One? Halo 1? Did we land?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, maybe we did land.
Yeah, it's good times.
But yeah, but in 2011, Will and I started a video production company called Just You Guys Creative. We spent half a decade of our lives just traveling the world, making really dope videos, and inspiring thousands, maybe perhaps tens of thousands of people, and just living our best lives. It was really, really fun. So thank you for being on the show today, Will.
Yep. And I just want to say that how many people we inspired cannot be understated.
Yes. I always
I'm just playing. You said 10,000, but dude, it's got to be so many.
100,000. Well, we have a lot of views on our YouTube channel, so actually, I don't know. But yeah, so I wanted to start off the show today. I got so inspired during my Vipassana retreat. So we're going to talk about Vipassana later, but I wanted to start off this whole thing because we never really made a public announcement why, like, we kind of went our separate ways with Just You Guys, because that was maybe 3 years ago when we kind of just started walking different paths and no one was really informed. So I wanted to tell people, you guys know when you install the toilet paper, the flap goes around the front and Will would always install it going around the back. And it just, like, after 5 years of living together with the toilet paper going around the back, I just couldn't.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, I was so fed up.
Enough is enough.
And then that with leaving the toilet seat up and unflushed, I just had to, like, slap down the divorce papers. I was like, well, this is, like, I can't handle it.
I'm a bad guest, what can I say?
Yeah, so that's the reason why we broke up. And
it wasn't a money issue. Yeah. It wasn't anything else. It was just the toilet paper.
Yep. And also, every time we would go on a shoot, he'd always insist on shooting in 30 frames per second. And everyone that's in the video film world knows that 24 is, like, the creamy, buttery, smooth. But Will always insisted. And he'd always even tell me that he's shooting 24.
I tried to get Gabe to shoot this in 30 today.
But no. And after editing and always having 30 FPS with 24, it just didn't work out anymore. that's from my perspective. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, that's basically how it went down. It was at a certain point, you get fed up. You say, enough is enough.
The toilet paper thing was
peace out, I'm leaving.
Yeah, the toilet paper thing was really the straw that broke the camel's back. And yeah, so now you guys know.
That's the real deal, the raw. You wanted the raw, the authentic, the weird, you got it.
All right, well, that's, I guess, it. We can end this podcast now that you guys know.
Later, Ohmcast, it's been real. Peace out, everybody.
Subscribe. I'm just kidding. No, actually, okay, so if you guys really want to know, it wasn't like a like, catastrophic event. It was kind of just, you know.
No, it was. You don't remember?
No.
Oh, wow.
What was it?
You don't want to talk about it?
No, we can talk about it. We're getting raw and authentic.
I thought you wanted to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
You said you wanted
to. You tell them. You tell them.
It's fine. We can cover it up.
No. Let them know. We gotta be real. And I'm sure if everyone was wondering, and they probably have some crazy ideas of what happened between us.
Is seriously okay if I say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there was the time that Gabe took ayahuasca in the living room, burned a hole in the carpet, and then peed on the floor, and then tried to act like it was cool while we had to be at a shoot.
Dude, I had.
What do you think the client thinks about that? What does the client think about that, Gabe?
I don't have any excuse for that action.
And disgrace.
I still honestly feel really, really remorseful about that.
So if you're watching out there, client, our deepest apologies to you.
Who shall remain unnamed.
Yeah, anonymous.
Yeah, it burned a pretty big hole in the carpet, huh?
Yeah. We had to have Shangle come over and steam clean it.
So the real, I think back in 2015 in December, I came up to Washington to do videos for the first ayahuasca retreat center here in Elby with Mark and Trinity. And I remember asking Will if he was, like, interested in helping me produce that, but he kind of wanted to hold down the fort in Las Vegas. So I kind of just came up here and spent a month doing that. And I don't know, it's just like there was like a, I guess, an energy shift, because after I was finished working on videos up here in Washington, I went back to Vegas, and he and Isabel decided to move up to Washington because he had gotten proposed a really solid real estate gig with our friends at Windermere. And so he moved up to Washington, and we didn't, like, we didn't cut ties right there. We were still a company. We were still working together. But he came up back up to Washington, and I was still in Vegas. And yeah, we weren't like in the same house anymore. So I think that was a big part of, because we grew so much when we lived together, worked together, everything together. It was just like, okay, we grew so fast, right?
Mm-hmm. And then totally.
And then now we're like three states away from each other, 1,500 miles. It's like really difficult to like collaborate, and we still collaborated, but it kind of just like, it was just slowly declining since we were in completely different locations and doing different things. He was focusing on real estate, and I was like, I want to dive deeper into the plant medicine world. And yeah, and I think that's kind of like, from my perspective, that's what happened. I don't know all the details. Is there anything that, like, is that thorough enough?
You seem so sad.
Yeah, no, I'm not sad.
And that's where it all started declining.
No, I am sad because you were
and
like,
and now we've reached the bottom,
and we're not friends anymore. And this I had to really convince Will to sit down and talk about. No, he actually was very open, but yeah,
I try and not be in the same room as Gabe as much as possible. Ayahuasca this, traveling that, vlog, vlog, vlog. That's all he ever cares about. Oh, I went on this meditation retreat. Oh,
hey, actually, Will was the one that introduced me to Vipassana. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But yeah,
why I create a monster.
Yeah, why didn't we, I guess we didn't make a public announcement. I was, I don't know, kind of sad and like embarrassed.
Well, we talked about the idea of like putting a little
like,
video together.
Like a funeral video
together where we like bury just two guys creative and like lower it into a coffin and put it in the ground or like put it on a boat and like sail it off into the distance. Which would have been funny.
At the time I was like so attached to our company and like I didn't want to
that's the thing. I feel like with building a company as an entrepreneur, especially like your first company,
it's like your baby.
It's really like your baby.
It's like a child.
Your identity becomes so much a part of it to the point that like you don't know if you want to like do something else, how everyone else will react, and how they'll see you. And
it was like an ego death.
Yeah, totally.
And I didn't want to make it public.
Totally. So, I think the change, there was definitely, the chapter was ending at HQ with like Mike wanting to move out to LA.
Yep.
And you were moving up here to do the ayahuasca stuff. And then Isabel at the time was, and I were interested in moving back up to Washington just because like, you know, after a period of time in Las Vegas, I'd been there for 4 or 5 years. You'd been there for 4 or 5 years. It was kind of like, it was great, and it was like we were talking about, it's such an amazing, amazing chapter of our lives.
It was so prime.
Coming together, all those people.
We had like six people living in the house at
one
time.
Yeah, there'd be so many creative people in Las Vegas that were there at one time. Like we talked about Keem setting up.
Yep.
You know, there's all those awesome people that are still out there killing
it. Dude, that energy is still in HQ though.
Yeah.
Like we planted some real seeds, and people that come over to our to that house still are so inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. Just last month, I took down those streamers that you guys put up on my birthday.
Oh, crazy! Like, that's so long ago.
Like my 24th birthday.
That's
or something.
Insane.
And I took them down, and they had like a nice, like the actual ribbon. The dust around the ribbon was thicker than the ribbon.
Ooh.
So I had to like take them down so carefully.
Ooh.
We had party streamers in the kitchen for like 4 years.
So good. Because that's what kind of house HQ was.
Yeah,
so
it was
really
just a fun house. We didn't have any chairs. It's just yoga balls.
It's like a portal to like just creative dimensions where we all grew so quickly.
Yep.
And now like Dalton and Gina and everybody that's there like help pass that along.
Yep. And then Johnny, Johnny holds down the fort, and all of Johnny's friends, everyone that comes over still feels that inspiration that we planted there when we first started.
Like it's when we go out for NAB and like Enrique's there and like everybody's there just like sharing tips and everyone's growing and stuff like that. It's a really, really cool.
Yeah.
So if you have an opportunity, definitely get together with your friends and like create a household that's really directed towards like purposeful intention, because you guys can grow a lot.
Yeah, it's like fertile soil. Mm-hmm. And especially like when the inspiration strikes, you gotta like act on it right away. And
totally.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
And we just like every inspiring moment we're just
we
like,
had Razel out there making all those fun videos.
Yeah.
All those his music videos.
Yeah.
So good. Good times.
It was such good times. Yeah, but you know, like as they say, like the only constant in life is change.
Totally.
And that is like the main core precept of Vipassana. Mm-hmm. So like I felt very attached, and I didn't want to tell the world that we weren't really focusing on what we were doing together anymore. And there was definitely
Definitely weird because of how closely you and I grew as friends while building the business, and like how much our identity got mixed up to the point that like people didn't know if I was Gabe or you. You know, like
know.
People don't know.
I'm Asian. You guys can clearly see that I'm like.
So funny.
But yeah, we were definitely like one.
Oh, you are Asian.
We were like one identity for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Like, Will and Gabe, those are like just like the, those two names just like went together.
Yep.
And like, yeah. We were two peas in a pod.
Right.
Yeah.
But at a certain point in time, it's like the next chapter has to like open and unfold, and you have to be willing to leap into that. And so, yeah, a lot has changed, and here we are now.
Yeah, and you know, it's so cool that we made it a point that our friendship was more important than the business.
Yeah, when people I always mention that.
So grateful for that too, because like, you know, like with any relationship, whether it's business or like boyfriend girlfriend, you can like get to the point where it's like you guys resent each other, and like the core of it is kind of lost. But
money can be something that really
gets in
between
the
people. And we worked out our money issues, and we take care of all of it, and it's like we can still be friends and like come out on top.
Yeah, and it's not like that we're never gonna produce anything ever again, because I'm sure if there's like a film or something that you and I are both super passionate about, of course we would get the band back together.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone else that I can like vibe with on shooting, and we're just kind of doing solo gigs right now.
Mm-hmm. And especially if there's money involved. We're really eager to work together.
The specific dollar amount will definitely bring us back together. So
if you know an uncle with a lot of money and you guys want to do a project,
six to seven figures, then you can hire just so you guys will get back together and make something for you.
Special events only.
Weddings with elephants?
Maybe.
No, probably we'll probably never shoot a wedding together ever again.
Probably not, just because I'm like, nah.
Yeah, it's just, probably not. But yeah, so.
Weddings are a great place to like, you know, really grow as a filmmaker, but I've done enough.
Yeah, I feel like you max out pretty quick.
It's not really, I mean, with any art form, there's like infinite levels you can go, but like for the production that generally people want.
And just the experience is kind of like repeat. You just go there and it's like the same structure.
But I think there's a lot of value in experiencing something similar over and over and over and over again. Right.
They can notice the nuances, the tiny.
Doing a ton of homes for real estate.
Yep.
You see little things, and I mean, I'm still studying and looking at magazines and, you know, different photographers and being like, how do they get this look? How do they get this effect? How do they create this feeling?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like with weddings, you could get better and better and better and better and just get be so good at telling that story just through these really subtle details. And then also like with meditation, you go for 10 days, you're literally doing the same thing from day 3 to day 10, like 10 hours a day, 11 hours a day.
Yeah, and there's no, there's so much depth to it. The rabbit hole goes so deep.
Yeah, when you get rid of like all this stuff, you get rid of all the variables, you have that real raw sensation that you're working with, which is really powerful.
Yeah. So yeah, now you guys know. That's the scoop, and I'm glad that we can finally tell the world what happened.
Tell the people.
Yeah, and we're still really great friends.
There you go, Ty. I know you've been curious.
Will's still the big spoon.
They call me Big Spoon.
I'm gonna since this is the first podcast, I'm just gonna check if the cameras are still running, and then we can move on to the next topic.
They're both dead?
We're still rolling.
Still rolling.
Nice. Audio's still good, yes. This is gonna be the one take wonder.
The one take.
Okay, so I guess we can segue into Vipassana. I just got out of my, this is my third 10-day sit. I've been to six courses.
They're so good.
We did two, you got like eight now, huh? Because you've done
total?
Two on your own.
The
first one.
Are you talking about sits?
Yeah, well just experiences there.
Oh man. I've done a bunch now. It's really cool. It's because I have that like list set up, the simple note, and so I can just look at it and be like, okay, I went this day.
Yep.
I think I've done 4 10-day sits.
You've done 5 because I've done 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I've done the 10-day serve.
And then 2 3-days.
Yeah, and then like some 3 days and like a 1 day.
Yeah.
But yeah, because what's really important is like that you just go a lot.
Yeah. it's not like the counter.
So that way you can judge yourself against other people.
Yeah,
been to one?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not
going to hang out with you.
The heaven gates are actually wide open. Yeah. The more of a Vipassana retreat you do, the more likely you're going to get to heaven.
Exactly, yeah. And so that way at the end, when everyone can talk, you can brag. You're like, oh, you've only done like 1 or 2. Gotcha, okay. That's cool. Yeah, if you want to know about my experiences, though, they're pretty cool.
No, but back in, I think it was 2012, we came up here, we were doing some gigs during Christmas time, and Will was like, yeah, I'm going to go sit for like 10 days, and I was like, that sounds like a really terrible idea. Why would you do that? And then Will's parents were
you were right.
Will's parents was like, Will, I think you're going to a cult or something. Maybe you should let us know if you want us to pick you up. Dude. And everyone was like a little bit worried about what he was getting into, but he went off and did it, and 10 days later he came back and shared that it was like a really powerful experience and how much it like, like improved his practice and just like just deepened his like ability to live life more present with more presence and love and gratitude. And I'm like,
it's like a really slow version of mushrooms.
Yeah, no, it is like a psychedelic trip, but also I remember you saying it's like when your internet is like working really shitty, you just kind of like unplug it for a second,
unplug your
router,
then you
plug it back in, and then the internet, everything works way better. Mm-hmm. Just like, cause like the moment you're born, in like when you incarnate into this like third dimensional realm, it's just incoming all the time, right? You're just constant, like...
You're like a sponge.
Yeah, you're soaking everything. So when
you can't stop it.
And even when you're sleeping, it's just like incessant thoughts. It's like the monkey... They always say in the yogic terms, like the mind is like a monkey that's drunk that just got stung by a bee. And it's swinging from branch to branch. And the branches are your thoughts. So it's just like this constant thinking. Like, when do you actually get to take a break and like let your mind like go deep?
And how does he stay so drunk all the time?
Yeah, I know. He's crazy. Working in Thailand. They feed the monkeys to get the coconut.
Perma drunk, which is up there, swinging from branch to branch.
That's
a really good metaphor, though.
It is. That's what they say in the yogic terms. It's a monkey mind.
It really feels
a drunken
like
monkey.
Drunken monkey.
And it never stops unless you like really take the attention to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So the year after that, we went to I went to my first 10-day retreat in North Fork, California, and I can't even describe how profound it is to sit in complete silence for 10 days. It is just...
Yeah, North Fork is really good.
Uh-huh.
It's a really cool place.
Yeah, I love they have like this pagoda there, and they have little cells like that are completely dark with no sound. So it's like sensory deprivation tank, but you actually have to like focus and do stuff.
How's the construction looking on the new one?
Dude, they were working on it while we were sitting, and we had to
was
be so equanimous.
Yeah,
they had this like huge truck, and they're like pouring cement. Yeah, and there's people talking, and like, but it's,
were they whispering?
No,
we need 10 gallons of cement over here.
Definitely not. There was like banging and drilling and all this stuff, but it was really cool seeing it come together. They got like the foundations done now.
Sick. That is so rad. It's gonna be so amazing once it's all completed.
Yeah, it's like, it's so cool. So I guess like for the viewers that don't know what Vipassana is, it's kind of like, you can kind of like riff with me on it, but it's just like it's a way of diving into...
Well, it's a technique.
It's
a meditation technique.
Yeah.
Like on a basic level, Vipassana is a meditation technique.
Yes.
And the technique is just like mindfulness and body scanning.
Yes.
This is how I would describe it.
And like maintaining equanimity, which is like...
Yeah, if you go like into the philosophy of it, the idea is that you want to have the equanimity and the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like two wings of a bird or like of an airplane.
Or the two wheels of a chariot.
Two wheels of a chariot. And so it's like when you have those two things in balance, then you can experience life on a deeper level.
Yes.
And like on a more, just more impactful and just a way that really, I feel like, connects you to your fellow human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stop seeing people as like masses, and you do at least a better job of humanizing and individualizing people, mm-hmm. which is just really powerful. I feel like on a personal level, it feels like it just takes your heart and it helps your heart like blossom, which is really mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, because like there's a lot of suffering in this world. It's like, and the suffering isn't from anything outside of us. As you like go deeper into the meditations, you realize that all the suffering is from yourself. Like nothing outside of you can make you sad. Nothing outside of you can make you happy. It's all from within.
Yeah.
And you can like cultivate that like inner love. You can just show up so much better in this world.
Totally.
And like the Guenka, the guy who teaches it, is like, it's the art of living, mm-hmm. but it's also the art of dying, right? You have to like learn how to die to learn how to live.
Yeah, I feel like Vipassana is like a little bit of a death, you mm-hmm. know? Because you have to die from the world of everyday life for 10, 11, 12 days,
mm-hmm.
you know? Which is a huge, huge commitment, but it's so valuable.
It's an ego death too, because you're not paying to go there. You're literally going there and you're living like a monk. You're going and you're living off the charity of others. So you just go there, and the reason that you can go there for free is because someone before you donated. And I think that's like the most beautiful, beautiful thing that, like, that's the Dhamma. Well, how do you even, the Dhamma is like the light, right?
Love. Dhamma translated just means truth, right?
Truth,
yeah.
So it's like, people have experienced so much profound benefits is that they donate in hopes that other people after them can be liberated.
Sure.
And it's so, that just fills my heart that it exists all over the world. And all of them exist because of the charity of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really pure space. It's
so,
so cool.
Pure. There's no, like, yeah, there's no ulterior motive or any kind of, like,
yeah, people are there to, like, work on themselves if they're sitting.
Yep.
Or people are there to just give freely if they're serving.
Yep.
Which is so cool.
Yep.
It's an amazing little community. But, I mean, it's huge. Like, I'm talking about the one in Washington. It's a cool
on
community.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they have them all over the world, which is tight.
Yeah, I want to do one in India. India.
Yeah, it'd be really fun to do one in India because I heard it's, like, you know, way different experience. Over here in Alaska, you have really nice rooms, and it's like two or maybe one person to a room.
It's really clean.
And it's like super clean and it's really spacious, but I heard in India it's like
in the middle of a city.
In the middle of a city, there's like 600 people sitting, and it's just like everyone's cramped together, sweating, and just like all the bodies crammed in there. So it'd be like way different experience than sitting in on Alaska.
Yeah. Well, even sitting in on Alaska, it's so challenging. It's like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but it's like the most gratifying and most like.
Yeah, you come away with just really clear, which is awesome.
Yeah, it just rids the defilements and all the things that cut, like all the mental patterns that stop you from, you know, living your best life. Yeah. And everyone deserves, it's like our birthright to be happy and free of all the miseries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess how, I bet people are wondering, like, how did it practically impact? How does it practically impact your life?
Oh, word. Well, yeah, I guess, so as you're developing the technique, you gain more awareness. Mm-hmm. And through your awareness, you kind of see the habits that you have that cause you suffering. And those habits could be expectations. Why isn't my Uber here? Mm-hmm. I need to be over here.
Yep.
Why isn't, you know, this file downloading? Why don't I have this? I want internet right now.
Resisting,
you have expectations.
What is.
Yeah, you're resisting
is.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you have your aversions, which is like, I don't want that, stuff like that.
Pushing things away.
Yeah, and so when you can become more, when you take the time to meditate, it gives you the ability to become clear on those items in your life.
Yep.
And so you're like, oh, okay, this is just me being crazy.
Yep.
And so you just kind of learn to live with it and like let go of it and relax a little bit more into it, and you just like, yeah.
Yeah, because you accept
so much benefit from it.
Accepting the reality as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the core of all the suffering is either when you're craving something that you don't have, or you're pushing something away that you don't want.
Yeah.
So craving aversion is like the core of where all of our suffering comes from.
Right.
It really is.
Which is so crazy to think about.
Yeah. Every moment you're like wanting something or pushing something away.
Right.
And when you don't get it, or if it doesn't go away, you suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just be a still, like the duck on a still serene pond, and just let it be as it is without any, just observe it objectively, right?
Right.
Then there's no suffering because you're just fully accepting the way it is.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple, right?
Yeah, but it's like, it takes you a lifetime of practice.
Many lifetimes.
Yeah.
Many lifetimes. So yeah, I'm just so grateful that I decided to come with you to do it, and it has become such a deep part of my life. Just like,
yeah, Vipassana is awesome.
It impacts you like
Vipassana.
Like,
anyways,
it impacts you like psychedelics does.
It really does.
It changes you.
You come back and you're like, whoa, planet Earth is a fucking trip.
Yeah, such a mess out here.
It is such a mess. Yeah, you get it back onto I-5. You're in on Alaska. It's like this big open acreage of
there's
like
deer hopping
farm,
around, little bunny rabbits.
Mountain like in the background, and everyone's so peaceful. And then you get back on I-5 and people are like, what the fuck did you cut me off?
Yeah. There's like traffic honking, so much anger.
Next thing you know, you're in Olympia, like for a rush hour. You're like, oh, this is crazy.
That's exactly what it's like. It's so intense coming back into reality.
And you're like, you open your phone and you're like, all this news of like, oh, there was a bombing over here.
Yeah, people are dying.
This person died over here. You know, Trump said this and tweeted that, and you're like,
so much suffering.
Yeah, it's just like so overwhelming when you come back. Yeah. Such an experience, which just goes to show you like how peaceful and like chill it is there.
Yeah.
But reaching those depths of like peace and stillness within yourself gives you the opportunity that when you are surrounded by all the chaos out here and every day, that you can like come back to it.
You'd be the lighthouse for others too. And, and you can be that, like, you can share what you take there out here. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now, right? Because, like, we're like,
totally.
Whoever's watching or listening to this is gonna, like, maybe they'll have, like, their interest will be piqued. They'll be like,
totally.
Because Annie Ferguson messaged me. She's like, oh, you and Will have inspired me so many times ago. I'm like, sign up today.
Yeah.
Do it now. And a lot of people have been messaging me because I've been posting about it on Instagram. They're like, I've been wanting to do this for so long. Yeah. I'm like, do it. Do it. Let me tell you that it's fucking hard, but you're gonna learn so much and you won't regret it.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like those days leading up to the Vipassana retreat are always so stressful because you're like, I'm gonna be gone for so long. I need to get so much done. You're like, what do I gotta get done?
And then, like, it takes 2 days to, like, really just chill out. And you're like, okay, I'm here to do this. I'm gonna be present and do this.
And then you hate it when you're there because you're like, I want to get out and do stuff.
Yes, yes.
And then when you're out, you're like, I wish I was in Vipassana because I would be so relaxed. It's so classic.
That's the classic human nature, right?
But it's always, like, when you're there and you can just drop, like, you get those moments when you just drop into it, you're like, wow, it feels so good.
Yeah. It's so blissful. Mm-hmm. Like, pure, pure peace and bliss. It's so, it just gives me, like, I'm just rippling with goosebumps since I left. And just, like, I can just feel just, like, tingling and I just feel so connected. Right. So, and I remember you saying once, it's like, it's a human, if you're a human and you live on planet Earth, it's a requirement that you should go once at least.
I think it's a good idea, for sure. For sure.
If you want to, like, get rid of
so
your...
So valuable.
If you want to, like, alleviate some suffering or just, like, some, like, just poor, just negative habit patterns, you must. You have to. There's no other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's Vipassana or any meditation.
Yes.
I feel like any meditation is just so good for you.
Yeah.
Whether it's transcendental or
a lot of TM people go... I met a lot of TM people there.
Oh, interesting.
And they're like, the results that we got in 10 days would take years in TM.
Yeah. Because there's something so profound about immersion.
Yeah.
And whether that's in a foreign language, like you're learning Spanish in high school, and you're like, go to Spain on a field trip, you learn so much faster.
Yes.
Or meditation, you can spend, you know, a half hour meditating every day.
At home.
At home. But the results you're going to get at 10 days, just because it's all strung together and just like so, like, so focused.
Without any outside
noise. It's
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You make huge leaps and huge strides in it. So. That's one of the most valuable things about it.
Yeah.
And it really, like you're saying, roots you in the practice. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy when you get back and you start, I'll mix in a little bit of this, I'll mix in a little bit of that. And, like, pretty soon your practice is, like, really kind of floaty.
Mm-hmm.
Like mine is right now. Like, it's not super grounded in concrete. Mm. And it's like you see those results go through your life. But then you go back to a strong meditation practice at a space that, like, really grounds you in it. Yep. And it's like, just gets you right back on board.
Yes. Cool. Life is so good when your practice is, like, when your discipline is, like, on point. Mm-hmm. Like, life is so much easier when you're disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, you understand that paradox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah, the more discipline you have, the more freedom you have.
Yeah.
What? How does that make sense?
It really works, though.
Yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah, the word discipline is, like, not one that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
It's like, you never want to hear discipline. Yeah. You're like, they want to be disciplined.
In yoga terms, they call it the tapas. Like, it's like the fire that burns away the karma.
Sure.
Yeah, like having strong tapas. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, purify.
I've heard of it as a restaurant style, right?
Tapas, yeah. Little appetizers.
Is there a connection there?
I'm kind of hungry now. So good. But yeah, I think, just so grateful that it exists. Yeah. And if you guys are interested, you guys can check. I'll put some details in the description of this. But you can check out dhamma.org. That's dhamma.org.
Find a dog sitter. Find a babysitter.
Yep. Make some time.
Yep.
You got time. 10 days is, like, in your whole spectrum of life, 10 days is really not that much time.
Yeah.
You can spend 10 days watching a Netflix series and not get anything done.
Ooh,
easily.
Ooh, bringing out this fire tapas, dude.
With no judgment, no judgment. Oh, so I wanted to share. So this is like the Dhamma. Like, it just kind of like works its way through people, and it's kind of like pay it forward, or I don't know. It's just like the light just kind of makes its way to the right people. But one of the guys that when I got to the retreat center for this sit, he recognized me. He's like, "Yo, so I was on the fence about coming to this course, and then I saw a video of you and your friend Will doing the 10-day, and that got me here."
That's so tight.
I'm like, I was just like, goosebumps. I was like, no way, because I did not make the video of us doing the 10-day service with the intention of be like, oh, this is gonna bring more people here.
Right.
I'm just sharing and just wanted to document my experience. But he's like, yeah, man, I was on the fence, and after seeing that, this, and then he was telling me, and then another guy was like, hey, I saw your video too, and that's why I'm here. I'm like,
people
what?
Love doing research.
Yes, I know.
People are probably gonna watch this.
I know,
for sure.
I know, I gotta make the right keywords and make sure I title it right.
But like, Dirk's a really clickbait Vipassana.
So he was like so happy to meet me, and he's like, so like that, thank you so much for making that.
That's dope.
And like, there's no good content out there about it.
Right.
So us making like a video blog of our experience, we were like, that was so fun, and I got to see what it looked like.
Sure.
And so during the course, he made this bracelet for me.
He made that during the course?
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
I know. But he's like, you made a creation, and so I wanted to give you
one. Oh, that's tight.
Because he makes bracelets. He's like, I want to give you one of my creations. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. Thanks again, Kyle.
That's really dope.
So I thought that was like so amazing.
That is really amazing. That's really rad.
It like really brought so much joy that...
Yeah, like it ripples out. The people that need to see it and the people that are drawn to it are the people that like, you know...
The seed of it is already within them. Right. So it kind of like brings them to it. It's really cool. So
a little bit of water to the seed.
Yep. Yeah, so that was really, really, really cool.
That's dope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like the people that you meet afterwards at Vipassana, and like
so
getting to
vibe.
Talk to them, it's really cool.
Really, all everyone's on the same vibration. Everyone's walking the path. It's really beautiful to find your tribe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that enough Vipassana talk?
Vipassana?
Let me check how we're doing on time here.
Vitakana?
That's been about 30 minutes. This is exactly how long I wanted the first episode to be. Is there anything you wanted to share?
Do you have any other questions?
So the thing is like real, authentic, and weird. I wanted to ask you like a weird and authentic and real question, but I didn't prep anything.
Yeah, well, they say fail to plan.
Yeah, no.
Plan to fail.
I had some funny ones, but I was like, nah, it's not even like relevant. Like, I was gonna say, like, if you were trapped on an island with one song for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh man, that's so difficult. There's so many good
songs. I was gonna
say
like Baja Men.
That's what you would say. That's what you would say.
I was thinking you would say Sade or something.
Oh, actually, I was listening to Sade recently, and I was like, this song is so good.
Will's got a nice like '80s heart in there.
Yeah,
like, he's always stuck in the
'80s. Yo, check out Will's Cool Tunes playlist on Spotify. What's up? I'm about to roll over 1,000 songs on there, so you know it's fire. We got the coolest.
There's actually really good tracks.
Best hits
there.
Of the '80s.
I don't use
90s,
Spotify, but that
'60s and '70s.
You got some good music on there.
No, that's such a funny thing because I feel like people's musical tastes are all over the board.
Uh huh.
Like, which is so interesting to me that like music is the most universal thing.
It is.
It's so wild. How like music and math are like incredibly universal.
And so is breath.
Yeah.
Back to Vipassana.
Yeah. Back to Vipassana.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess a lot of things breathe.
Everything breathes. Yeah.
Everything breathes.
Yeah.
But did you know that breath is what kills us in the end?
Whoa.
Because oxygen is actually poisonous for us.
And you're just oxidizing every time you breathe.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But yeah, it's really crazy actually, back to Vipassana. In like the types of breath that happen. Like when you, as you progress in it and like you get deeper during the course of your time there, you're like the quality of your breath becomes different. Sometimes it's like shallow and it's like, and sometimes it's like heavier and just like really flowing and smooth. Sometimes it's heavy, but like angry.
Uh-huh.
And you can see how the thoughts that you're thinking have such an impact
on
the way that your breath is like moving
mm-hmm.
and the way that your body is responding to different stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in your head. There's seriously sometimes where I'm like, am I dreaming right now? Or like, you just get so lost in your thoughts.
Yes.
You come back and you're like, am I still at the Vipassana Center? Or like, am I off back in, you know, 2008 at some random, you know, specific instance of whatever, you know?
You know, it would be cool if we can end this with like a takeaway. Maybe like give people a technique that they can try for a minute.
Donate to Gabe's Patreon and you'll learn a cool technique.
If you want to hear the full podcast.
Yeah, did you do a 7-minute fucking intro with ads? Hey, if you're a creator and you want a new website, check out Squarespace. Audible. Here's my Audible code.
Secret code, Gabe and Will.
Yeah. J2G Creative.
Oh, that'd be so funny. That'd be cool
and
to
just have a fucking ad right in the middle. Like, I don't know. Podcasts are funny in that way. People just don't have any awareness of like, they just don't put this in here, but like, it's so surprising when you're listening to a podcast and they'll just cut it because it's like the 30-minute mark.
Uh-huh.
They'll just cut it and intro with like some random product
sponsor,
and then cut right back to it. You're like,
so
crazy?
Yeah, it's like you're literally like the intention is so clear that they're trying to make money with it.
Because you're like you're in a conversation between people and you're listening back and forth. Yeah. And then it'd just be like
commercial break.
You're like, what?
It's almost like television, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we got to get money for doing this.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, I think people should make money on their podcasts.
Oh yeah, monetizing everything is great.
But you would think like, they would have someone to like listen through their podcast and be like, where's a natural break in the conversation? And then like introduce the Wix thing there. I don't know. It's just so weird when that happens.
It is.
It's like a podcast thing. I listen to like one of those YouTube videos like shit podcasters say. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
So many the memes about podcasters.
So funny.
Yeah, but my intention with this show is just to, share and make content out of conversations and hopefully expand consciousness by just having conversations with really cool people.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I feel like photography and video is the same way. You're like capturing a certain scene, a certain place, a certain vibe, a certain energy in that way. And in the same way with podcasting, you can capture people.
Yep.
You can capture who they were at this time in this place, and it can be so valuable for people to like listen to it and just be like, wow, I really connect with that. And that is exactly what I need at this moment, which is really cool.
Yeah, I love listening to podcasts that like they speak to my heart. Mm-hmm. I love stuff like that, or just like any content that just like resonates with who I am. So I hope that people that listening today maybe took away something that gave him some value, because we don't want to just make a show to just chat shit, It's like, let's deliver some value to people and, serve. Because the service is like, that's where the true fulfillment is.
Right.
And you live a life of service.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good stuff.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I think we can, should we end it with a little quick, Vipassana technique? Maybe just like, if you guys are ever like in a really tense situation and you feel like out of control or like overwhelmed, the key is just to come back to your breath, right? So by observing your breath, in Vipassana, you start with Anapana, right? So you focus on the area around your nostrils and above your upper lip. And when you're breathing, just notice the breath when it's coming in and out. And you can observe whether it's hard or soft, fast or slow, hot or cold, which nostril it's coming out of. And as you're observing,
tickling, prickling,
tickling, any kind of sensation. It could be anything. But it's like you just observe it without any objections, right? Oh, no, you observe it objectively. Don't observe it with any attachment.
But I think that means the same thing, sort of.
Yeah.
Right?
Just don't.
You're not like upset that it's one way and not another.
Yes. Yeah. So just observe it as it is. And when you just come back to your breath, then you can just, then you're present. Because like all of our suffering, or most, like you're depressed when you're kind of like in the past, right? And then you feel anxiety when you're like worrying about the future. So you're like totally missing the point, because the present moment is where all the fucking magic is. So when you come back to your breath, you're in the present. Mm-hmm. And that is where you can like really
become an unstoppable entrepreneur.
That is right. Well, cool. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. Thank you again, Will.
Yeah.
And if you guys like what you hear, you guys can consider subscribing. And I'm not sure how it works on Spotify or iTunes and all that stuff, so I'm going to get all that set up. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah, hopefully I can be back for number 100.
Yeah, I want to do one where we just talk about video.
Number 1,000.
Like filmmaking, storytelling, and like capturing stuff. So
Will
be back.
Will be back. Sounds like my name is Will Be Back. Hi, my name's Will Be Back. But yeah, honored to be on the number one.
Thank you. I was thinking no better person. I'm like, okay, we can talk about Vipassana because you're the one that introduced me to it. And then we talk about what happened to J2G because we never told anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you guys. Until next time.
Bye-bye.